Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 1 Chronicles chapter 22. In the very place where the plague stopped in the last chapter, and the angel of the Lord stood on the threshing floor and stopped the plague, Solomon was to build his temple. It had been David's desire to honor God as the true king of Israel by building him a throne and house unlike any king had ever had, leading God, of course, to tell David that God would build David's house by giving him the Messiah through his bloodline. And there, reigning in peace, Solomon becomes another picture of Jesus or the Messiah. And God in this chapter says, "He will be my son, and I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever." Of course, the throne that God is talking about here is not an earthly throne, for the throne of Christ would be in heaven, and the tabernacle, according to Hebrews, was merely a shadow of the heavenly throne room where business was done with God on earth. Soul business, atonement, forgiveness, justification. These were the true riches and currency by which a man could make eternal exchange to give away what he could not keep, to quote Jim Elliot, to gain what he could not lose, his very soul. God would not let David build the temple, however, because, as he points out in verse 8, David shed too much blood on earth, and the man who built the temple, where blood would be shed for forgiveness and to make peace, should probably not be the man who shed blood in the name of battle, war, and conquest. That's because the temple itself would be all about peace and not war. In verses 14 through 19, David tells Solomon about building the temple, saying that he spared no expense for the temple, but gave it his all. I don't know about you, but if you've ever been to a church building, it seems to be either too much opulence at times or too little care exerted. It's very rarely, like Goldilocks said, right in the middle, just right. If I go into a building where everything is state-of-the-art and amazing, I always feel like that money could have been spent better on mission, and it seems that the priorities are somehow a little bit off. But if I walk into a building where things are also dowdy and run down, I feel insulted for God, that people would think so little of his worship that they didn't care to give their very best. They treat God like, well, like his church was the goodwill, and they bring all of the things they don't want anymore instead of caring to send their very best. It can sometimes seem like an impossible tension to keep. Do you know why? Because God, after all, does not dwell in houses built with human hands. Rather, the temple is Christ himself. It's not about what we build for him. Like David was told by God, it's about what Christ would build for us. The temple that God built was Jesus. He even called himself the temple, saying, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it up again in 3 days." Believers, I could be on a trash heap in South America worshiping God when that's all I ever knew, simply because God would meet me right there on a pile of trash. Now, here's the interesting thing about what Jesus said about his own body. "If you destroy it, I'll raise it up again." He was risen to life physically and he ascended to heaven. But one of the things that the scriptures suddenly says is that we who are left behind on earth are now his body. We are the place where he shines out, like the Old Testament temple, his glory for the rest of mankind to see who he is. Just as that temple sat on that Mount in Jerusalem way back when, and it was said to be the joy of the whole earth that all men and women would turn to and be able to worship and praise God, so the church now is the vehicle that carries God's glory. There are multiple passages that say, "For you yourselves are the temple of God." And Ephesians, by the way, was a book written all about the temple being the church. You see, the church is a people, not a place. That's why God told David, "I don't need a house, David. It's a nice thought and all, but maybe that's more for you than it is for me." You see, God doesn't care whether we meet in homes or in parks, which, after all, is where Chris Langham and I used to meet for Refuge Long Beach, the church we pastored together. All that matters is that we meet, not where we meet, not even necessarily how we meet. It's that we meet. And when we meet, that our chief concern is to glorify Jesus, to radiate who he is to the surrounding world beyond our four walls. That's why Jesus said, "Wherever two or more are gathered, there I am, right in the midst of them." Now think about that. Jesus said, "Wherever." You see, to a Jewish person, it was radical to think that you could worship God outside of the temple, that you could worship God outside of a synagogue. And yet Jesus told us, "Wherever two or more, that's you and one other person, gathered together in my name, I will be there." And their mind would have gone straight back to the Old Testament when the Shekinah glory of God fell on the tabernacle with Moses, the cloud filling the inside and billowing out of the curtains, and light radiating out from within, from the holy fire, from God's presence. As Moses would step out, a bit in shock after meeting with God face to face, talking to him, as it says in the Bible, as a man would with his friend, Moses would come out with an atomic tan, a holy radiant sunburn, his face shining, and people would say, "Whoa, Moses, hold on a second there, pal. Put on a veil, it's too much for us." Well, you can meet with Jesus like that at any time. If you were at school during the lunch hour, you could grab a friend and say, "Hey, let's go pray for our friends." And there on a bench, somewhere off a field, somewhere on your school property, God, Jesus himself, would meet with you and make that spot as holy as the temple itself. But David in this passage talks about giving God his very best for the temple. And do you know what God thinks is the very best that you could give him? It's your heart. Like we said, Paul says, "For you yourselves are a temple of the Holy Spirit." God's Spirit resides in you now, and God considered the very best not to be pearls or gold or costly stones or silver or any other precious metal. The preciousness that God wanted to indwell forever and ever and to set up his throne and kingdom for his name was within your soul. And let me just say, you were a lot more expensive than silver and gold, for it didn't cost money to buy a temple or years of construction labor. It took Jesus 6 hours on a cross to pay with his own blood the equivalent of an eternity in hell for me and you. I'd say Jesus wanted you for a temple pretty darn badly and was willing to pay whatever price was necessary. So through the word listener, give God your heart. Give him the temple that he purchased. Dedicate it wholly and completely to him. That's what God wants, and dang it, that's what he deserves. Well, thanks for joining us today on Through the Word. I've been your host, Peyton Jones. We've been going through 1 Chronicles chapter 22. We'll see you tomorrow in chapter 23 on our journey through the word.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.